You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with our second week of the video version of the M Squared TechCast.
Yep. And we're still not in the TV studio. It's just been one thing after another.
Yep, afraid so.
Last week was no AC, and this week no power. But we're optimistic that the third time next week is going to be the charm. We'll see.
So now you know at least what the old studio looks like.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
This is the old Podcast Detroit audio studio, which is a fun place to be.
Yes, and hopefully we'll be in it'll be more of a Tonight Show kind of format, Matt and I behind the desk, and then we'll have the guests there. Immediately, probably to our right,
and your left,
or left
for the audience,
depending. Yes, and then it'll be a little tighter because right now these cameras you don't really focus in real tightly on the faces and sort of. So it'll be a lot.
Which in my case is a good thing, but
you look a little red today.
Some of our guests. Well, I've had a lot of sun the last 10 days. I've been out of town.
I know. I follow you on Facebook. You and your lovely wife have been jaunting about.
Yeah, we did a rather epic 10-day, 2,400-mile road trip all the way around the north end of Lake Superior. It was spectacularly beautiful. It's a little village and then 100 miles of boreal forest without so much as a shed, and then a little village and another 100 miles of boreal forest. It was just gorgeous, and lots of places to get out and hike and see waterfalls and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
And the black flies were, like, everywhere.
They respond to DEET, yes. Yeah. If you put some of that stuff on, they stay away from you.
Oh, so, perfect. Yeah. Okay.
We did not see a bear. We did not see a moose. So, you know, we were kind of looking forward to that, but we didn't see either of those. We saw some very scruffy-looking foxes and some deer.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of other tourists.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yep.
I haven't been up there in a long time. But we're keeping our guests waiting as we do all this small talk.
Yeah, and today's show is interesting to me because it is cannabis-focused, which is one of your new enterprises. Let's get your plug in first, Mike.
Okay. The Michigan Marijuana Report, yes. MIMarijuanaReport.com.
Yep.
It's brand new. We've been doing a lot of pickups from other publications, but going forward, the launch with this show, we have all this video coming out, and then all of our guests, we're going to try to then get unique content, you know, because that's really what pulls in the audience, and of course, the advertisers, in the end, you got to make a buck or it doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So, Anthony Sabatella, who I met beginning of the year, I guess, right?
Yep, right about.
Yeah, and so he is with a group called THC123, and I'll let him explain what that is.
Yep. Well, THC123, we're a business administration platform. We are a hybrid between a professional employer organization and employment agency specifically focused for the cannabis space. And what all that jargon and all that BS means is we are cannabis HR. So we'll be able to handle everything from payroll, tax management, employee benefits, workers' compensation for the employers, but also for the people looking to get into the cannabis space. We'll leverage ourselves as a technology platform and have a industry job board, online certifications, and everything in one location that you can then find what you're looking for here in the cannabis space.
Okay. And a couple things. You just launched. Well, let's back up even more. Now, your father and your family are heavily involved in the same sort of area,
yep,
right?
Yep. My dad is the owner of America's Back Office. We're a nationwide professional employer organization. We have clients in all 50 states. So understanding that that's the backbone and the engine behind THC123, I decided to take that one step further, add on the employment agency aspect, add on the insurance agency aspect, and that way we can handle employment in a full 360-degree outsource model for our clients.
So I guess begs the question, why did you decide to get into the cannabis business? I know you, I have been at events with you, so I know, how do we say this gently? I guess you are you use it from time to time, yes?
Yeah, I've inhaled.
Okay. As opposed to some of our past presidents who didn't, of course.
Oh, but, yes, right.
So was that...
And some who could, I think, seriously use it. That's a different story.
Mellow out, yes.
Yeah.
You got into it, obviously, because you had an inclination in this area, but also because you probably saw an opportunity, right?
Well, I would say an opportunity, but I also saw an industry and a market that truly needed that extra lift in the areas that I, you know, luckily have, you know, these resources to provide. If you take a look at the cannabis industry, you know, we all know that it's raised from the black market into this kind of gray limbo market that has existed for, let's call it, the last 5 or so years. But what's now is this industry is now normalized across multiple state lines, almost to a federal level.
Almost.
We're almost there. But where this industry has gone is more into big business, into more of a normalized business. So who else but a company that handles outsourced HR and outsourced big business practices that really needs to give, you know, that hand up to bring in, you know, this industry and help normalize it on its way up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you have a question?
Well, you know, there's PEOs. What do you bring to the table in terms of a cannabis specialist?
I practice what I preach. You know, the difference between, you know, myself and a normal PEO owner is, you know, I was raised in this generation. I was raised in this industry, in this community. You know, so my knowledge as an industry expert will speak volumes there, but also understanding that, you know, myself having a hybrid skill set, I bring in the PEO and I bring in the, you know, we'll call it business technology platform. You know, that's my niche in this industry. So, you know, understanding what I'm bringing to the table, you know, I'm looking to specialize that and have that focused on the cannabis industry as a whole.
Okay.
And then one of the things that just occurred, I think it was a week or so ago, we were going to start this earlier, but we were waiting to time it because you come out with a new website. Why don't you talk about that?
Yep. I just launched a website. It's called mycannajobs.com. And what this website is going to be a digital employment agency specifically for the cannabis space. If you're a candidate looking to get in this space, we're going to have an online job board that you can go to. Instead of sending your resume into 5, 6, 7 different locations, you know, to people you don't even know the contact point for, why not leverage a platform that you can go and send your resume in once to THC123, and then you can have one click applies to multiple different locations and different opportunities.
Now, one of the things that there's probably a lot of people interested in getting into this space for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is they see the job opportunities, but they may not have the skills. Is there some way to work with apprentices or anything like that or give them training?
It's tough understanding where this industry has came from. You know, this was an industry attacked and discriminated against, you know, for multitudes of years and continuing currently. So understanding that trust is a huge, huge issue, you know, but understanding that training is a necessity, you know, bringing social equity to the groups that were disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs and the war on marijuana. You know, we need to find a way to implement ways to help those people. And the way I look to do it is look through leveraging technology and a digital platform to do so.
Okay.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the addition. You're more than just a PEO here, right? You're a talent bank. Where do you find these folks?
Where do we find them? The nice part is leveraging the technology that we use. We use a platform right now called Breezy HR, but we're in the research and development stage of building our own platform to handle this. And what we're looking to do is create we'll call it a hybrid between Monster.com and Kayak.com specifically for resume building and talent acquisition in the cannabis space. So if we're able to post one job posting that goes out to 20 different job boards, and we can aggregate all the results back to one. You know, we cut down on time, money, and energy spent by all parties, which and unfortunately, time is money, especially mm-hmm. in cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely.
So so one of the things that I noticed while I was gone, I sat down and read all the papers that I missed while I was gone over the last couple of days. The state, in terms of the recreational marijuana business license, does not have a capital requirement as it does for the medical marijuana mm-hmm. Dispensary license. So that means it's going to be more open to startups and very small businesses. So let's talk about the opportunity for micro businesses in this space.
Yeah, micro business, I think it's a great opportunity for people to get into. I would just, you know, let them know that, you know, just because you're growing cannabis, it does not mean you're going to just grow money. You truly need to know your product. You need to know the supply chain. You need to know, you know, a multitude of different business backgrounds to really make this work. And what I really look to do is tell people to look to industry experts, look to people that are pioneering, paving the way, look to the service providers, because those are the people that are going to help your business. And they've seen it time and time again with businesses just like yours. So they're able to offer a pretty unique perspective, you know, to help these companies get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about where folks can find a lot of this information. This is the shameless plug event again. where let's talk a little bit about, so with THC 123, one last thing, too, I'm going to ask. I think we talked about this earlier, is just because someone submits a resume doesn't necessarily mean that's really the talent they have. How do you screen the resumes?
Oh, you got to look at the resumes, you got to ask them, and you got to get to know the person, you know. So we really look to find members of local communities, trying to search them from the towns and the cities that these businesses are sourced from. You know, so we have opportunities for business owners at THC123.com. We have opportunities for prospects for the industry. That's going to be over at mycannajobs.com. And also, if you're an employer, this is a free job board. We're offering this to the community for free. So please come on and take a look and try to source some of your talent and get hired over at THC123.com.
Which segues into just that. So THC123.com is the platform you need to go to, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And then just like any other job board, you fill out some online paperwork, you submit a resume, and then voila, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we look to leverage social media. We look to leverage the platforms that people use on their day-to-day lifestyles, get to know a little bit more about you, and look to try to find you that job and find you that new career in the cannabis space.
Okay. With the little bit of time we have left, one minute. I wanted to discuss what you think about the opportunities are for sort of industrial hemp production beyond the recreational, you know, pleasure use of marijuana.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be big in Michigan?
I think big. If you consider, you know, if you consider the cannabis space as a Goliath, that's just the tip of the iceberg when you look at industrial hemp. The applications for industrial hemp, including in our roads, such as hemp adobe and hempcrete that can expand and contract better than asphalt and concrete. You know, it's a time for Michigan and the Department of Transportation to take a look at that.
Interesting.
We'll have to wrap it with that, Matt.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Anthony Sabatella, president of THC123. We'll be back in just a minute with another segment. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to and watching the M Squared TechCast.
Indeed.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And I'm stepping all over Mike Brennan. How about that? Well, I've been gone for a few weeks. So
he's out of practice. So. Yeah.
But we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast here at PodcastDetroit.com and wherever else you might get your fine podcasts.
Yeah, and the whole show is being devoted to the cannabis micro business. And so people go, why is a technology show focused on cannabis? Well, there's some technology involved. But more importantly, we are a show that also supports entrepreneurs.
Economic development.
Yep. And gosh, this is a huge opportunity, particularly for micro businesses. And so we have with us Roberta King, who is the owner of Canna Communications. And she's going to explain to those micro businesses what some of these PR essentials should be.
All right. Well, great. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm going to just give you some background. I started Canna Communication about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in August, too. And I came from a background in communications, public relations, and wanted to do something toward the end of my career. That wasn't
end of your career.
I know, yeah.
Well, you're only like 29 or something, aren't
you? Thank you. Oh, okay. I am.
All right.
I'm very close. Very close to 29.
And speaking of close
yes,
to the microphone.
Close to the microphone.
So,
segue, yes. You're not even going to be able to tell I put lipstick on. That's weird. Okay. So end of the career, or last, 5 years, I thought I would be working, and I had a really great job. I was a vice president of a community foundation, and that was super fun in Grand Rapids, and just decided to abandon it all to go work in the cannabis industry. And so here I am.
So that begs the question, why? Well, why cannabis, I mean?
I'm one of those people that if I was going to do something new or different, it had to be really different. I knew that if I just opened a PR firm, I would end up working with a bunch of community foundations or nonprofits. And I thought, well, if I'm going to really make a break, I'm going to go big. And go big or go home or go broke. I'm not sure. So
I think all of the above in this business.
You never know what's going to happen. Talk to Mike about the joys of entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're laughing one day, you're crying the next.
Oh, God.
So, good.
Let's get back to a lot of people have a lot of skills in a lot of areas, but you discover when you start a business that you don't know everything. And Matt and I are communications professionals. We both were 150 years between the two of us, I think.
Yeah.
Not really that much, but but I've been doing it for 40 years, and you've been probably close to 40.
Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah, 80 years.
Yep.
So we kind of understand that, but the average person that's going to start a small business, I mean, they may understand social media somewhat. They may have a Facebook page or, or whatever, LinkedIn maybe, but what should they really know about this?
Well, I think if you're going to start your micro business, the first thing you need to do is think about your company name.
Yeah.
What are you going to call it? And does it make sense? And where is it out in the universe right now? Because a lot of company names, you might want to be, Greenville Cannabis Co. or something. And it's like, and there's already one of those out there. So
trademark search right away?
Trademark search or internet search. Even if you don't go trademarked, don't decide to call your business Oberon. Cannabis.
Yeah.
Because Bell's will sue you.
Absolutely.
And so think about that and find, talk to your lawyer or just do your own due diligence to see what's up there. I mean, names like Google came up because there was nothing else left, so you can always make something up, if nothing else. And made up names work pretty well.
Okay. So how do you counter sort of the public perception of marijuana? It is still federally a Schedule I drug, although who knows how much longer that's going to be.
I think that's going to change. They're already having debates in Congress about that.
But what's the PR strategy for dealing with that issue?
Yeah, and I had to deal with that a lot when I left conventional business in order to do that. And I found really it's education. I spent the probably the last year and a half after I left my job and as I started this business and started to get some clients, it's always about education. It's telling people, what do they want to know? And answering questions that just random questions people would ask me, mm-hmm. hey, how do I get a medical marijuana card? Well, you can go to the state website, but it's like, hey, you know what? I'll write a blog on that or I'll do a video on that. And so I did a lot of content creation based on what people wanted to know. Oh, every time I take marijuana, you know, I feel funny in the, you know, and so it's like, all right, well, maybe it's too much, or maybe it's the wrong kind, or how about microdosing? So then it's a, you know, some content on microdosing. So it's like education, education, education. So the first year that I was doing active writing, it was all education about marijuana and different aspects of marijuana. And now I'm doing a lot more writing about, public relations in your marijuana business. Mm-hmm. And so I've been focusing on that. So, you know, free things that you can find, how to develop content, ideas for moving things forward. And so, yeah, it's been interesting.
Interesting. So what specifically would you tell people about next steps? So you get your name, you discover it looks pretty unique.
Yeah.
Now, you can do the trademark search, but I know I've talked to lawyers, and you're going to spend a couple thousand dollars on that.
Get yourself a domain.
Yeah.
And find a good domain for your business. If it's out there, then that's when you really, you know.
Yeah, that's the first thing I do is I don't tell anybody what I'm thinking.
Right.
I go out and capture the domain name first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell people about it.
Absolutely. And so you get your domain. I mean, I never thought that I would get Canna Communication. Just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, well, that's pretty good, you know. So, you get your domain. And then I always tell people, you know, all the social media stuff is great, but you don't own it. You have to own your space. So get a website. Spend some money on a website and preferably don't have your nephew, cousin, niece, or brother do it, unless they are a professional web developer. You don't have to spend a ton of money.
You can do a WordPress site.
Yeah, get an easy WordPress site. And then the next thing, it's like, all right, well, I've got my domain. I've got my. Then you need your content. You got to put something up there. And that's where a lot of people turn to me because there's nothing I love more than writing website content. It's like, oh, man, I just love it's part of that education, public relations work that I do. And so then getting the content on there and then producing regular content, and that's really important too.
How regular is regular? Should a business post something every day in this space, do you think, or what? Yeah,
you know, God, I wish.
Talk about that a little bit.
I wish.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ideally it would be something new every day, but you know, I mean, you're going to run out of steam, and I try to do things on when I'm on a good roll once a week, a really good blog about some topic. In reality, it's every 2 weeks, you know, and so, I mean, it's not easy. You guys, you know, to talk about being in communication, you know how hard it is. It isn't so hard writing it. It's what's the idea and what do people want to know about? So it's looking at what people are talking about and then moving that content those ideas into some content that's useful and usable for people.
Okay, what else should they know?
I think that, you know, you need to get your social sites up, you know, and you need to have those. But realize that at any given moment, Facebook can shut you down. Instagram can shut you down. Twitter, not so much. And LinkedIn, which is all of a sudden sort of turning into this really nice haven for cannabis that weird old LinkedIn, you know.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like they have not been hostile toward cannabis. And so that's been a good place for places to go.
That's really interesting because LinkedIn has a lot of the same functionality as Facebook. I mean, you can, you know, have a private conversation with someone. You can make public posts. You can post pictures. You can post video. You can do all that stuff on LinkedIn too.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And they're not unfriendly to cannabis, you know, and so that is kind of interesting. One of the things that I think too is really important when you're starting your company is to have what I like to call a discovery meeting. So sit down, talk with whoever it is that you are most close to, either your business partner or your spouse or whoever that might be, you know, that you're involved with in that business, and talk about what do you visualize your business being? Who do you want to serve, and what kinds of things do you want people to think about you, and what are your values? And I know that sounds like just so, you know, conventional, but what are the things that you believe in? You know, what are your values? What is your mission? Why do you exist in this cannabis space? And be able to articulate that, because then that will guide everything else that you do.
Okay. What else would you recommend?
I would also recommend, I have to check my list.
Check your list. Check my list. Check it twice.
You know, here's another thing. I think it's really important to have great biographies of of the people in your company. So it's you that started it. I want to see, and people want to see, don't you, tell me if you don't do this. When you go to look at a website that you know isn't Amazon or somebody trying to sell you something, do you not go to look at, to see who's behind it?
Sure.
The about section.
Yeah.
Number, who are those people? God, did they go to the same college I went to? Do I know them? Do we have any, hey, that person runs, I run too. Hey, we both own wiener dogs. You know, what are those things that, that are those commonalities?
I don't think you own a wiener dog.
No,
you, man?
No, no pets at this point.
Oh, okay, well, I would highly recommend wiener dogs. They're quite wonderful.
Yeah, my in-laws had one for a while.
Yeah,
a lot of delightful.
Very, very.
Yep. They used to like rooting around in suitcases. Whenever you visited them, you couldn't leave your suitcase open in the guest room.
Yeah. Or they'll go under your bed or into your socks. They're strange creatures. Mm-hmm. So, but I think a really good biography. People want to know who they're doing business with, whether you're selling cannabis or you're farming or what, you know, what's your background and what are you like? I think those things are really important for people to have on their website. And I think part of the problem with cannabis is that we have been underground for so long, and and every, you know, every grower, caregiver, people who have owned provisioning centers have been very nervous about being out there where people can find them. And now that's changed. And so, you know, we're all abiding citizens now, or mostly.
Yeah, and then hopefully with the feds, I think it'll happen sometime 2020, 2021.
It's sort of gone the same way that that marriage equality did. You know, it seemed to be that there was like, you know, 40% for it and 60% against it, and then virtually overnight it seemed to flip the other way. And it's that's pretty much where pot is at now.
It's absolutely.
about two-thirds say, what's the big deal?
Yeah. I think there's a higher probability if a Democrat gets elected president that it would get legalized versus Trump. But I don't know. Maybe he could pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah,
you know?
he might see that as a way to do better with the youth vote. You never know.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that moves forward and what it does. And then I think the very last thing that I want to say is, and we sort of almost always start with it, but it's so boring. But if you're going to start a business, you need a business plan. You need a communication plan, you know, because otherwise you're chasing rabbits the whole time. You're just like off in a different direction. Somebody knocks on the door. It's like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that, you know. And so having a comprehensive strategy is the best way for your micro business to be successful, to have that understanding of what, you know, what you need to do and how you need to do it, and then moving that forward and executing that plan.
Okay, we got less than a minute left. Roberta, why don't you tell folks how they can reach out and talk to you?
Sure. You can find me at cannacommunication.com.
And so that's singular communication.
That
and
is Canna
is C-A-N-N-A.
Communication.com, yep.
Okay.
And yeah, hopefully I'm easy to find on the internet.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much, Roberta King, owner of Canna Communications. Where are you based out of?
Out of Muskegon. How about that?
Okay. Whoa. Awesome.
Yeah.
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 My dad and stepmom lived for years in Grand Haven, so I'm real familiar with it. So
that's great.
All right. Thank you very much, Roberta, from Canna Communications. We'll be right back in just a minute with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
stupid show here.
Yes.
It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with today's third segment on the M Squared TechCast, now with video.
Yep. And the whole show today is devoted to, you want to start a cannabis micro business? Well, we got the experts here that are going to tell you how to do that, including Scott Roberts, a principal at Scott F. Roberts Law Group. Where are you based out of?
Downtown Detroit.
Okay. And what he's going to talk about are some of the basic requirements and restrictions applicable to the micro business license. So this is the legal part. So take it away, Scott.
Sure. You know, the micro business, just kind of a general perspective, we sometimes call it a caregiver license on steroids, because a lot of what the caregivers are doing right now, the micro business allows you to do that under the rec market.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of very big picture, what the micro business allows you to do is grow 150 plants,
whoa,
process those plants, and then sell them all direct to the consumer. But what it doesn't allow you to do is purchase someone else's plants for sales to the consumer or sell to, say, another micro business or another licensed entity.
So you it's very vertical in this case.
Yeah, it is a 100% vertical license. And you can do pretty much everything the processor, retailer, and grower license can do, you know, subject to the plant counts, but do it with only one license and only pay a $6,000 to $10,000 licensing assessment, as opposed to, you know, under the medical right now, would be something like $190,000.
Yeah, I looked at that. It's some big numbers that would scare most people off anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and big capital requirement.
All right. So let's start right at the beginning. So you've got, of course, 150 plants. You're talking about a very large area. That, how many acres is that?
Well, you know, 150 plants, that can be grown in as big or as small of a space as you want. It kind of depends on your cultivation methods. You know, you could easily fit that in a 1,000 square feet if you kind of had very small plants, but you're not going to necessarily get the yield you're probably going to want, because, you know, hopefully you have a lot of demand for your product and you're going to be selling more than you would produce in just 1,000 square feet. You know, some people 4,000 or 5,000 square feet would be best. It just, you know, it's, there's really no right or wrong answer on that.
I know my tomato plants do best when you plant them about 3 feet apart, and I think we're talking about roughly the same size plant. So, you know.
Yeah, but with a marijuana plant, you know, you can have very small plants that you just kind of continuously harvest, or you can grow really large plants.
And so they can be 10 foot tall too, right?
Yeah, with the large plants, you know, you're going to get a lot more yield per plant.
Mm-hmm.
And because the marijuana micro business, you know, it's limited by the 150 plants, you know, if you're going to want to, say, have enough to process and sell a fair amount of processed goods in addition to flower, you know, at least with some of those 150, you're going to be really incentivized to grow really, really big plants that can yield, you know, upwards of 10 pounds per plant.
Wow, times 150. Let's start with the basic steps. Now, so someone wants to get a license. How do they proceed to do that?
So there's kind of three hurdles to cross. You know, the first hurdle, I would say, is getting a location in a municipality that will let you operate. You know, the rec law is considered kind of an opt-out law, meaning if you don't opt out, you're considered technically opted in. But, you know, the practicality of that is that you still really need a municipal approval. You're still going to need a C of O. And then the municipality...
Unless you're growing in a rural area or something, right?
But, well, it's a marijuana micro business is still a facility.
Okay.
So as a facility, you have to have, you know, four walls, the ceiling. You have to meet certain
building
requirements.
Well, you can't grow it outside then.
You would be able to cultivate outside if you're, you know, complying with the outdoor cultivation rules that are out there.
However, do you have to have security or something? Or?
Well, you're going to have to, again, so, you know, each little segment of what you're doing, you have to comply with the rules applicable to those other licenses. So, for instance, with your retail component, you have to comply with all the rules that are applicable to marijuana retailers under the recreational law. And for the processing, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay, so Joe Average wants to start one of these. Maybe he or she doesn't want to do 150 plants. Who do they apply to?
So, you know, you're going to have to get municipal approval. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to apply and receive a municipal license, mm-hmm. but you do have to get their, you know, approval in one way, shape, or form, whether that takes the form of C of O, or I think a lot of the places will literally just have licenses the mm-hmm. same way they do under medical. On top of that, you have to, you know, get approved by the state, and the mm-hmm. state has kind of broken up the rec process into, you know, pre-qual or pre-qualification, similar mm-hmm. to how they have done in the medical, and then as well as kind of a final license. So those are kind of like the three barriers, the state pre-qualification, the municipal, you know, finding a property, which would probably be the toughest part of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and most expensive too. Well, then you got to set everything up. I mean, you got to set up, if it's indoors, you have to set up grow lights and all these facilities for growing, however you're going to do that. I don't know if you do it with hydroponics, but certainly it'd probably just be a large pot and soil and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the build-out costs are probably going to be somewhat substantial, kind of similar to what we're seeing on the medical side because, mm-hmm. you know, they have to comply with all those rules about, you know, like fire suppression and commercial grade walls and doors. So, you know, the practical effect, there are no capitalization requirements for the micro business.
Well, realistically, you're looking at $50,000 or $100,000 or something, right? Or
yeah, for a build-out, you know, it could easily exceed that amount.
Wow. So it's still probably you're going to see people teaming up rather than an individual coming up with all that cash, right?
Yeah, and you know we have a lot of clients right now who maybe only have you know $50,000 or $100,000, but they're raising that from friends and family or outside investors. You know, there's also a couple kind of financial brokers who are able to kind of connect people with lenders in the area, both kind of asset-based and income-based. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is the availability to kind of finance some mm-hmm. of these projects with debt, which a lot of people, you know, just don't realize is out there and available.
Yeah, it wasn't available before. So the pre-qualification process, do they have to lay out the $6,000 or $8,000, then the pre-qualification comes? It seems like you'd want to get pre-qualified before you lay out the money, right?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the, you know, the application fee, that's different from like the licensing fee. And this
is
something
is.
That kind of gets a lot of people confused. So it's a $6,000 application fee that you have to pay right up front.
And no matter what happens, you still have to pay that.
That's
right?
up front, yeah, before yeah. you even start. Okay.
And then I would assume they're going to administer rec similar to the medical where the license fee is kind of the last step of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I like to explain it is like you kind of give them the check and they give you the license.
Ah. Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Because otherwise, you lay out the money and they turn you down, you're just out the money, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we expect the rec kind of licensing to be a lot kind of easier than it was in medical just last year. You know, we've already seen the medical licensing process really, you know, speed up. And also, you know, things that were causing denials in 2018 just quite simply aren't causing denials in 2019.
Such as?
So, you know, in 2018, you know, you forgot to put one charge from 1988 on your criminal history disclosure, a completely honest mistake. People were getting denied for that.
Mm.
Just across
well,
the board.
Different administration, too. I mean, mm-hmm. I was at Hash Bash this year and heard that Governor Whitner was in there, but she had a announcement that she played congratulating everybody, and I don't think Rick Snyder would have done that. So, but so it's a little bit of attitude change
Bill
there.
Bill Schuette certainly would have.
Definitely think. Not. Yeah. So, all right. What kind of advice, other advice would you advise on anybody wanting to start a micro business?
One thing I would say is, you know, it is a marijuana business and
right.
that's kind of sexy,
mm-hmm.
but you still got to treat it like another business. So, you know, with a lot of my clients from before, you know, before I got into the cannabis field a few years ago, you know, usually if they were looking to start a business, we would advise them to kind of write up a business plan, you know, to the extent applicable, maybe do some just basic market research, and then also kind of put together a financial pro forma, which is kind of your projected numbers, how much money you have to make to break even, you know, how much money you'll make at certain kind of thresholds. And that's something, you know, I advise everyone who's getting into a new business to do. And I don't think it's any different for marijuana companies. And it's something, strangely, that a lot of times marijuana companies don't do as much. You know, they think
more seat of the pants kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's marijuana. Of course I'll make money. I don't have to think about that. And, you know, the thing is, yeah, you still have to think about that. You know, as the market, you know, fills up a little more and gets saturated, there will be some competition and you really want to make sure you're positioned well. And that means kind of planning things from the beginning as opposed to just kind of flying by the seat of your pants.
One thing I was curious about, and I don't know if you know this, you probably do. How long does it take to raise a marijuana plant to where you can cultivate it and, you know, turn it into something you can sell?
So that actually kind of goes back to our, you know, discussion on how big your plant is. So, you know, you can have plants that are, if they're small, you know, we were talking a couple months from, you know, a little seedling to a big plant. But, you know, if you're growing these really big plants, then, you know, you can, it's going to take a much, much longer time and you'll spend 3 or 4 months just vegging.
Okay.
And then in terms of pricing and all that, is just whatever the market will bear. There aren't any regulations on you can sell it for, you have to sell it for $100 an ounce or whatever, you know, nothing like that. Huh?
No. I mean, the market is setting the price. And right now that price is really, really high, a lot higher than probably should be. Because if you compare it, you know, the price of licensed product versus the price of caregiver product, there's a really big difference. You know, as time goes on, that will start to drop. And, you know, as market forces take hold, you know, hopefully they will find an equilibrium. We won't end up like Oregon where the price just, you know, essentially crashed. But, you know, the advantage of the micro business is because you're vertically integrated, you're not really subject to the daily fluctuations of the wholesale price. Because when the wholesale price fluctuates, the consumer price doesn't really fluctuate as much.
All right. So do other states have micro businesses of the type that Michigan is establishing under its law? I mean, is that the case in Colorado or Oregon?
So the two states that have implemented programs that are somewhat far along in them are California and Nevada. And California really has been the leader in this. There's a couple more states that recently just did micro business programs. I believe New Jersey, Massachusetts also have one. But California has kind of taken the lead, and there's, I believe, over 200 micro businesses in California. Theirs is slightly different. You know, they don't do plant count, they do canopy size, and they have some rules that aren't really applicable to Michigan. But like the basic concept is the same, and you've seen these, you know, really take off in California, and I would expect the same thing to happen here in Michigan.
All right, we've got a little less than a minute left, so why don't you tell people how they can reach you and you know, what kind of services you offer?
Sure. Yeah. So we are a full service cannabis business law firm. My background is really working with businesses and real estate companies prior to the cannabis industry. To get a hold of me, scottrobertslaw.com is our website. I'd also say marijuanamicrobusinesses.com is another great resource that we post on quite a bit. And you can contact us through that as well. And
All right. Well, there you have it, the lawyer's point of view. So
yes,
all these points are very important. Yeah, PR, HR, legal, and then next we're going to have up...
accountants.
Accountants, yes.
Okay.
So CPAs.
You do have to count the beans.
You do, yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, Scott Roberts, principal at Scott F. Roberts Law Group. We'll be back with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast in just a minute. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And if you're watching live, you're at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launch pad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast, now on video.
Indeed, it is. And we have with us, well, actually, we should probably preface that by saying this whole show is devoted to, you want to start a cannabis micro business? Well, we've got the experts that can give you some advice on how to do that.
And we just learned from our last guest that Michigan is somewhat unique in terms of its legal approach to cannabis micro businesses, yeah, which was kind of interesting to see.
Yes, it's been an eye-opening. I'm learning things that I did not know, so hopefully the audience will as well.
Yep.
And we have with us Karina Miller, CPA, president and founder of LC Solutions, and you're out of Flint, right?
Yes, we are.
And with you?
Sarah Joslin. She's marketing and business development manager of LC Solutions. Welcome to the both of you to the show.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
So we had the HR, we had the PR, we had the JD, the lawyer. I was trying to think of something faster.
Yeah, right.
And now we have the CPA.
So we've had the full alphabet soup here.
We have, yes.
Okay.
And so I guess that's important because in the end, you got to get all this paperwork process. You got to do your taxes. You got to deal with whomever, all these various authorities. And you're going to tell us how to do that, right?
Yes. You have to worry about taxes. And in this industry, anybody getting into any type of marijuana business, micro businesses, you have to worry about federal tax laws being different than state tax laws, too. So there's additional accounting and record keeping. You cannot deduct a lot of your business expenses. Whoa. So making Damn. Sure that you the expenses that you can deduct are properly recorded and you have all of the receipts and records there. That's our job. That's our favorite thing to go in and do is make sure our business is compliant with their accounting. So if a state regulator or an IRS auditor or anyone wanted to come in and look at those books, they can essentially open them up and everything is there. It's perfect. They don't have anything to worry about.
So what's not deductible and why? What's the rationale?
So the cannabis businesses have to follow code section 280E. And what that says is only their cost of their goods sold can be deducted. So cost of goods is the cost that it takes to grow and produce their product. Mm-hmm. So if we talk about a micro business who has a cultivation portion, has a processing portion, then has the retail portion. If we draw lines between each of those, then the cultivation and the processing activities are in general deductible. But once those products are ready, they're ready to be put on the shelf and then sold to the patient or the customer, those selling costs are no longer deductible.
So what we would consider SG&A on a regular
financial
statement.
Exactly. Okay. So no marketing expenses, no bud tender wages, accounting fees, attorney fees, all of those would fall into the SG&A, would not be deductible.
Is that partly because of where marijuana still is in the federal drug schedule?
Yeah, that's the only reason for it.
Yeah.
280E has been in existence since 1982, okay. So very outdated laws. But until cannabis is descheduled, that's where we're at.
Okay.
Well, we were just talking about that in the last segment. Hopefully that'll occur in 2021, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I know Congress just debated it, I think it was last week.
Yeah, it was.
Where, you know, the process is starting, how long it'll take, who knows. But certainly, of course, I'm not sure politicians are really looking at polls these days, but the polls seem to indicate that, you know, on a national level, everybody wants this legalized.
It's about two-thirds for at least decriminalization,
yeah,
I think.
Right.
So, yeah.
Baby boomers are probably driving it because they're retiring, they want to kick back and light up, right, man?
Well,
move to Traverse City, that they've all got farm.
Well, that we've all got bad knees, so we want easy access to edibles, thank you
very
much.
That too, yeah.
There you go.
All right. So tell us a little bit more now. So we've gone through the different things that need to be done to set up a business. Now we're at the CPA level. So what would be the first steps? I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about taxes and all that, how to sort that all out. But how do they get started?
So first steps with any business on the accounting side, you've got to register for business taxes. We can help with that process. From there, we're very focused on your accounting needs as you're in business. So not what you're doing at the end of the year to get ready for taxes, not what you're doing because the government's come in to look at everything. We want to make sure everything is compliant and how it should be all along. So from day one, we help you set up your accounting system on the back end. So if you're using a software like QuickBooks, for example, to track all of your revenues and expenses, we make sure that your chart of accounts is 280 specific. So again, there is no misunderstanding of what should be deducted and what's not. Record keeping is big for us. So I have a team of bookkeepers who are perfectionists. If you send us a transaction and it does not have a receipt behind it, we don't accept that. We're coming back to you and saying we need to have this information. So we're almost like a third party. Your employees aren't going to like us at all, but that's what our job is. That's what we're there to do. And our goal is to make sure ultimately you're the business owner. It's your business. You have to make sure that those things are in place. And that's what we're there to help you. We'll help train your employees. So a lot of times, somebody working in the accounting records or doing these day-to-day things do not have any type of accounting experience at all. Mm-hmm. So we'll go in there and help them get their processes in place, make sure internal controls are in place. We have a lot of cash movements in this business. So making sure all of that's tracked properly. And then on the back end, again, part of the rule set is that once a year, your books and records are subject to audit either by the LARA reviewer, so the state government, or a third party independent CPA. So we make sure that you're very well prepared for that.
So what's the status of banking law when it comes to cannabis businesses? I mean, can you use a bank now? Is it still the way it used to be where no bank would touch the money? Or?
Well, they did touch it, but it was like very quietly on the side.
Right, yeah. Right. It's still like that. So it's up to the bank itself to develop procedures that allows them to be compliant. Mm-hmm. I'll say we work with plenty of clients that have banking. Now, whether it's 100% how it would be required, first goes from your location to the Federal Reserve and then to the bank. There's never that direct transfer into a bank account. There's very few and far between banks in Michigan that I know are offering programs like that and doing things 100% by the book. But yes, banking is still a problem, and that's on the federal side. But a bank, there's nothing stopping a bank from doing it, other than their own fears and hesitations, to make sure that their processes are in place so that they can be compliant on their back end.
Because I know in the early days of all this in other states, they you have tremendous cash on hand and they didn't have any place to park it. Mm-hmm. Boy, talk about an incentive for very bad people to come pay you a visit, right?
Right.
So
right. It's still a problem. A lot of existing operators, they're paying all of their taxes in cash. So even that in itself is an issue, because you have to take these sums of money to either the IRS office in Lansing or Detroit or wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm. The city hall for property taxes. That
exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
And it is what it is. I mean, it doesn't, just because you're operating in cash doesn't mean you can't do everything correctly on the back end. I mean, we haven't always had credit cards and checks. There is a way to work compliantly in cash.
So what other pointers would you give for folks that want to get all set up legally and get their books in order and whatnot?
Number one is take it seriously. The biggest problem we run into is, accounting usually gets put on the back burner because people think about just taxes and, I don't have to worry about it until next April. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're caught in a position where you weren't doing things correctly, or it's a mess. I mean, we've seen plenty of shoeboxes, I'll say, full of receipts, and it's nice that all those things are there, but, you know, my best advice is be proactive and have those procedures in place from day one. Two, tax structuring and tax planning is important. So because we're very limited on deductions, there's some other things that can be done in terms of how to set up your entity for different tax structures. Depending on where businesses are going to be operating and where they're going to be infusing funds into, we may be able to take advantage of opportunity zone funding where it gives you a little bit of break on taxes there. So there's a lot of different pieces that we can look at, but we need to do that from the start.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask Sarah a question here about how you go about marketing this business. Who are you, how are you coming up with clients and sort of what's your function there? How is it to market a business like this?
So far, I've just been going to...
Now lean in just a little bit more there.
Current open dispensaries, mm-hmm. Things like that, dropping off our information, letting them know they need to be 280E compliant.
Okay.
Yeah,
and how's that going? Is that working?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they surprised that there's a CPA firm out there that specializes in this area?
Yeah, some of them are kind of shocked.
Yeah, it's still very nascent, so.
Yeah.
All right, what else do you do? I mean, do you advertise? Do you get on social media? What sort of tips can you provide?
Yeah, we post on social media. We're active on Facebook. I send out emails, postcards.
Yeah, we do a lot of print mailing. Mm-hmm. So we get our marketing lists from the reports that the MRA sends out from Weed Maps, Leafly, you know, existing operators. We just did CannaCon a few weeks ago. So we try to do four or five of the major exhibit type events. We do pretty well, but a lot of it is the in-person, you know, that Sarah's doing and making that physical contact, being in front of somebody.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
What else would you tell folks what's the very first thing they should do? Let's start with that.
First thing they should do, I mentioned business taxes, that you've got to set up, make sure that your business is set up. From there, call us. I mean, we have a lot of clients where we're working with them and kind of helping them on the back end, but they're not quite ready to open their doors yet. So we're doing all that pre-work with them. And you know, we understand. We work with all startup businesses. So we get it that, you know, you're out there, you're doing this. We can't push too hard on you for what's needed on our end, but that relationship is going to pay off down the road. So don't be afraid to call us, to contact us, and we'll help you with that starting. And then when the point comes where you're starting to accumulate expenses or things are starting to get complicated, you know, then it's time to move into a bookkeeping model or a continuing services model. But we try to be very proactive, and again, we get small business. That's all that, we've done prior to this until this commercial licensing. So we're very well poised for the micro business market. So to answer your question, call us and we'll help you through with the rest of it.
Well, that's a great segue because we're down to a little over a minute to go. So you need to tell people how to get a hold of you now.
So you can reach us on our website. It's lcsolutionsmichigan.com. And our contact information, our phone number, our email, everything is on there. Sarah mentioned we're also active on Facebook. So you can reach out to us there, message us or send us a comment through there. We're out there. So if you Google accounting firm marijuana in Michigan, we're one of the first to pop up. So we're able to be found.
Okay. Right. Thanks very much, Karina Miller and Sarah Joslin of LC Solutions of Michigan, CPAs out of Flint, for the cannabis industry. I want to thank the two of you. I want to thank all of our guests today. We had Scott Roberts, principal at Scott F. Roberts Law Group of Detroit. We had Roberta King, owner of Canna Communications out of Muskegon, and Anthony Sabatella, president of THC123, which is an HR firm for cannabis businesses.
He's in Oakland County somewhere. I'm not sure which city he's out of. Yeah. But so we have a nice representation around the state.
Yes. Said we do, and we also had just about every business service you'd need if you're a cannabis business. That's one of the things that happens when a new industry comes up like this, is that you have a whole universe of service providers, an ecosystem kind of.
Indeed.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks to all our guests today. We'll be back next week at 2 p.m. Eastern time, hopefully in our full TV studio.
Yeah, right, Jess? Hopefully, yes.
We've done the last two weeks right. With video in our old radio studio, kind of cobbling it together. But we have made the commitment to go to video, and hopefully we'll be in the other building next week.
We do hope that, yes.
All right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.